you are going to listen to the podcast again. First, you will have 45 seconds to study the task below, then you will hear the recording twice. While listening, answer the questions 1 to 6 using a maximum of 4 words. Write your answers in the spaces provided. The first one, 0, has been done for you. After the second listening, you will have 45 seconds to check your answers.
Welcome to Globetrotter Wizards, the show that talks to the most experienced travelers about their experiences during their trips around the world. My name is Irene, and I am your host today. I'm very happy to talk to Frank, who's going to give us the latest update on how he's managed to travel through India for 3 months carrying a minimum of cash. So, let me try and get Frank on the line. Hi, Frank, can you hear me?
Hello, Irene. Yes, the connection's fine. How are you doing?
Great, thanks. What's up at your end?
Well, I'm enjoying my last days in Delhi right now. I wish you guys could feel the heat and hustle of this huge metropolis.
Sounds like you're having a great time there. So tell us, have you been able to save some cash for the end of your trip, as you were planning on doing?
Let me see. Yep. I've got my emergency $500 still here with me, and some Indian rupees, of course, which I'm going to spend on fun little gifts.
Speaking of rupees, let's give our listeners some background information here. The Indian rupee is divided into 100 paise. Coins come in denominations of 50 paise and 1, 2, 5, and 10 rupees. The notes come in 10, 20, 50, 100, 200, 500, and 2,000. Which ones did you use most often, Frank?
Oh, I'd say the 500 rupee note, but whenever I had to pay cash, I quickly amassed coins. This is a bit annoying.
Okay, so should we get rid of the coins as quickly as possible, or should we simply not use cash at all?
Well, actually, you could get rid of coins whenever possible, but you should maintain a stock of smaller currency, like 10, 20, and 50 notes, because no one in India ever seems to have change. If you have leftover rupees, you can change them back into foreign currency most easily at the airport. But some airport banks will only change a minimum of 2,000 rupees. Also, you may have to show encashment certificates or a credit card receipt, but you must always show your passport and airline ticket.
Well, that sounds complicated. So I guess it's best to spend your leftover rupees before leaving. Which reminds me, did you take any rupees with you traveling there?
Nope. I was pretty sure I'd be able to change U.S. dollars after arrival. It was really easy. At banks, airports, and authorized private money changers, not only U.S. dollars, but also U.K. pounds and euros can be changed. Sometimes even Swiss francs or Canadian dollars are accepted.
And does that only work near the airport?
No. I found it easy throughout India. Yeah, okay, not in tiny, remote villages, but basically in any town.
Would you say that private money changers are reliable?
Oh, yeah. They even accept a wider range of currencies, are open for longer hours than banks, and many of them double as internet cafes and travel agents. That's really convenient, I have to say. Their fees are moderate, too. But the best deals I found were in some upmarket hotels, which usually change money below the bank rate.
Ah, that's good to know. So, what about alternatives to cash? You said you seriously limited the amount of cash you carried around.
Yeah, I did. Well, first of all, forget traveler's checks. They're outdated and not recommended anymore. Should you need money, you can find ATMs in most large towns. Generally, the usual debit and credit cards are accepted.
And did you use your debit card a lot?
I think I use my credit card more often. In my travels over the years, I've noticed that it's simply more convenient. They're accepted at many shops, restaurants, and hotels. You can pay for flights and train tickets. At some banks without ATMs, you can even get cash advances on the major credit cards. So I really only got cash from an ATM when I was hiking to a remote area.
Oh, cool. Well, that sounds convenient to me.
Absolutely. I really love the unique mix of modern life and ancient traditions there. It's a completely different culture. However, many places are overcrowded with both tourists and locals, so it's a good idea to always keep the emergency lost and stolen numbers from your credit cards in a safe place, separate from your cards. Also, report any loss or theft immediately.
Good idea. Plus, in case you do run out of money, someone at home can still wire you money via money changers that offer instant transfer services.
Sure. Luckily, that hasn't happened to me. I was able to sell a kidney.
Welcome to Globetrotter Wizards, the show that talks to the most experienced travelers about their experiences during their trips around the world. My name is Irene, and I am your host today. I'm very happy to talk to Frank, who's going to give us the latest update on how he's managed to travel through India for 3 months carrying a minimum of cash. So, let me try and get Frank on the line. Hi, Frank, can you hear me?
Hello, Irene. Yes, the connection's fine. How are you doing?
Great, thanks. What's up at your end?
Well, I'm enjoying my last days in Delhi right now. I wish you guys could feel the heat and hustle of this huge metropolis.
Sounds like you're having a great time there. So tell us, have you been able to save some cash for the end of your trip, as you were planning on doing?
Let me see. Yep. I've got my emergency $500 still here with me, and some Indian rupees, of course, which I'm going to spend on fun little gifts.
Speaking of rupees, let's give our listeners some background information here. The Indian rupee is divided into 100 paise. Coins come in denominations of 50 paise and 1, 2, 5, and 10 rupees. The notes come in 10, 20, 50, 100, 200, 500, and 2,000. Which ones did you use most often, Frank?
Oh, I'd say the 500 rupee note, but whenever I had to pay cash, I quickly amassed coins. This is a bit annoying.
Okay, so should we get rid of the coins as quickly as possible, or should we simply not use cash at all?
Well, actually, you could get rid of coins whenever possible, but you should maintain a stock of smaller currency, like 10, 20, and 50 notes, because no one in India ever seems to have change. If you have leftover rupees, you can change them back into foreign currency most easily at the airport. But some airport banks will only change a minimum of 2,000 rupees. Also, you may have to show encashment certificates or a credit card receipt, but you must always show your passport and airline ticket.
Well, that sounds complicated. So I guess it's best to spend your leftover rupees before leaving. Which reminds me, did you take any rupees with you traveling there?
Nope. I was pretty sure I'd be able to change US dollars after arrival. It was really easy. At banks, airports, and authorized private money changers, not only U.S. dollars, but also U.K. pounds and euros can be changed. Sometimes even Swiss francs or Canadian dollars are accepted.
And does that only work near the airport?
No. I found it easy throughout India. Yeah, okay, not in tiny, remote villages, but basically in any town.
Would you say that private money changers are reliable?
Oh, yeah. They even accept a wider range of currencies, are open for longer hours than banks, and many of them double as internet cafes and travel agents. That's really convenient, I have to say. Their fees are moderate, too. But the best deals I found were in some upmarket hotels, which usually change money below the bank rate.
Ah, that's good to know. So, what about alternatives to cash? You said you seriously limited the amount of cash you carried around.
Yeah, I did. Well, first of all, forget traveler's checks. They're outdated and not recommended anymore. Should you need money, you can find ATMs in most large towns. Generally, the usual debit and credit cards are accepted.
Did you use your debit card a lot?
I think I use my credit card more often. In my travels over the years, I've noticed that it's simply more convenient. They're accepted at many shops, restaurants, and hotels. You can pay for flights and train tickets. At some banks without ATMs, you can even get cash advances on the major credit cards. So I really only got cash from an ATM when I was hiking to a remote area.
Oh, cool. Well, that sounds convenient to me.
Absolutely. I really love the unique mix of modern life and ancient traditions there. It's a completely different culture. However, many places are overcrowded with both tourists and locals, so it's a good idea to always keep the emergency lost and stolen numbers from your credit cards in a safe place, separate from your cards. Also, report any loss or theft immediately.
Good idea. Plus, in case you do run out of money, someone at home can still wire you money via money changers that offer instant transfer services.
Sure. Luckily, that hasn't happened to me. I was able to sell a kidney.